Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Before we start eating this fantastic meal that Lou prepared for us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lou.
Should I say it again? You're welcome.
I want to say grace real quickly. Just say a few words of thanks.
Is this going to be religious?
No, not really. Everyone here is from different religious traditions. Well, that's true. Maybe we could go around the table and everyone could just mention their religious background. So maybe I could work it into the prayer.
Well, I was raised Presbyterian and voodoo. Grandma's a Mambo.
Right.
So it depends which side of the family I'm with. Then I pretend to be that religion.
My people are born Jewish and then convert to weird stuff. By the way, Shemp Jive, everyone.
Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
Don, how about you? My background is Dutch. All right. That's not a religion. Oh. Okay.
Maybe he means Dutch Orthodox.
No. I don't think I have one. Is that a problem? No, of course not. Hans, how about you?
Well, my father was Jewish, and my mother's family came over on the Mayflower. So I don't know. Unitarian?
And Lou's grandma?
Yes.
We know that you practice voodoo?
Yes.
And, Stinky?
I'm Baha'i.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, we worship Rainn Wilson.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding, but he's Baha'i.
Oh, all right. Vincent?
Oh, my personal beliefs don't matter. I'm very much against religious and racial prejudices and bigotry.
Well, that's great. Well, let's just get started.
Hey, I can't bow my head because of chronic neck pain.
Oh, don't worry. You don't have to bow. It's not going to be like that.
Do I have to fold my hands? They're clammy.
No, you can just sit there. This isn't formal. I'm just going to share some words before we eat, just to mark the occasion and say thanks and all.
Can we sip water if you start to go long?
Look, I'm not going to go long. Come on, y'all. Okay. All right.
I'm telling you right now, if you go past the 2-minute mark, I'm starting to eat. I got so much saliva and stomach acid worked up here, I'm going to start to digest myself.
Question. Don?
Because I'm not familiar with a lot of religious tradition, if there's any hand motions or bowing or anything, please let me know what to do.
No, look, this isn't going to be religious or anything. Forget what I said. There's no ritual. I just want to say a few words of thanks.
To whom? You already thanked me for the food.
Which I feel we'll never get to eat, ironically.
Oh, we'll get to eat it ironically, all right.
Come on, guys.
Just go. Just start. Oh,
start it.
All right. Okay, all right. All right. Friends.
Butchie, what are you doing?
You're supposed to hit the glass to get everybody's attention before you start.
No, everybody's already looking at me.
Well, if you want to break tradition.
It's just not necessary. All right, listen. Friends.
I don't mean to interrupt, but hey, y'all, anybody want to place a bet on how long it takes him to cry?
I say 10 minutes.
Put me down for 20 minutes for $10.
Y'all, what the heck?
You do get awfully teary.
Sometimes I get sentimental. I'm sorry. I'm not afraid to cry. I admit it. I'm not afraid to look weak. I'm a human being. What am I supposed to pretend or something, that I don't have feelings? I can't go around like that. I'm not embarrassed to be human. I think even if I was sick and I pooped my pants, I wouldn't be embarrassed.
We're at the dinner table. I can't believe you.
I'm sorry. I know. I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm not afraid to show emotions, and I feel like I can't be truly grateful unless I feel things. I just want to tell you how much. So if you stop, you know, interrupting me, I can get on. It's going to take longer if you keep interrupting.
Go.
All right. All right. The Bible tells us, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stall-fed ox and hatred therewith.
Of course. I don't eat meat. So a stall-fed ox and hatred, that's like a double negative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a vegan.
I think it's pronounced vegan.
Yeah, all right. Well, I only eat vegetables.
Oh, I see your point.
So I'd love a dinner of herbs.
All right, well, I think the point of the verse is that it's better to have love and be poor
than to have a lot of material wealth and hatred, because it's love that's more valuable.
I'll buy that. Go.
Okay. That was really my point.
Amen. Let's eat.
I'm not done yet.
But I'm really hungry.
I know.
Let's compromise. We'll eat, and you want to talk, so you talk, and we'll eat.
That seems fair.
All right, go.
When I was little, my great-grandmother was still living, and she lived with my great-uncle. Now, my great-uncle wasn't her son, it was her son-in-law. See, what had happened is my great-uncle, my great-aunt, and my great-grandmother bought a house together and lived there for a while. Then my great-aunt broke up with my great-uncle, and she left, leaving those two alone in the same house, and neither one of them, because they were stubborn, would leave. So for the next 30 years, my great-uncle and his mother-in-law, my great-grandmother, lived together. Now, we would go over there for meals all the time, and maybe even Thanksgiving. And one very vivid memory is of my great-grandmother choking. You see, she was a choker, we call it. She had some, I guess her throat was really small or something, so I remember every meal there'd be at least one incident where my great-grandmother would just start choking like that. Now, it wasn't one of those things you go and do the Heimlich. She was clearly still being able to breathe and everything, so I don't know exactly what it was, but she'd have these coughing, choking fits, and my uncle would react by taunting her, which I always thought was very unusual. He'd say, why don't you either die or shut up or something like that? And I would be appalled because I was scared to death. It would scare me to death when she would do that. Like, oh, no, Greg Grady. Now, I thought, how is it that my great uncle can live here with her and have disdain for her or something? I thought he didn't like her. Now, I was always afraid something's going to happen to her because she was so old and I loved her and she was so sweet and I was a little boy and I thought, oh no, if anything ever happens to her. And I was very protective, you know, because she seemed vulnerable to me and I didn't want to and I knew old people died and I didn't want to lose her and it was my greatest fear. And then my greatest fear was realized when she died, and she died at home, and my uncle found her there.
2 minutes. Who has 2 minutes?
I'm not crying, Butchie. I'm just a little sentimental. Anyway, he found her there, and he held her hand when she was dead until the ambulance came and all. It's just an act of love. And I thought, man, he did love her. So how is it that he was taunting her at the dinner table? And I thought, oh, he was afraid. He was afraid, too, just like I was. But he was a tough guy. You know, and he didn't want to admit it. He didn't know how to deal with that because love can be very, very scary. I'll tell you why. If you feel powerless and if you feel vulnerable already, oh my gosh, love can be terrible. It makes you feel even more vulnerable when you love people and attach. You think, oh, I'm so afraid something's going to happen like that. I would say that, you know, you might want to consider cruelty. Cruelty is very efficient and great. See, if you're angry and you're fearful, cruelty, you can go out and you can be cruel to somebody, and man, it works right away. You ruin their day almost instantly. Almost nobody is resistant to it. And then, the wonderful thing about cruelty is it gets passed on. People can, you send it, pow, you hit somebody with cruelty, it expands, and they go and they're cruel to somebody, maybe their family, and maybe it ends in absolute complete disaster. And boy, if you want power, if you want power and you want to affect other people's lives like that immediately and profoundly, boy, cruelty's for you. I'll tell you what. What about love? I thought love was powerful, Hardy. Oh, it is. It is. But it's the delivery system. Love is more like a pill. Cruelty's like mud. I can come up to you and I can toss mud on you and it's going to hit you and it's going to get on you. There's nothing you can do. Love is like a pill. You got to accept it. If I say, here's love, and you don't take that, then you're immune to it. But if you decide to accept that love and you take that pill,
I have a hard time swallowing pills.
It's an analogy, Butchie. And you take that pill, then you're transformed. Then you have a connection with that other person. Then you care about them. Then you see yourself in them and they in you.
Oh, that can be so frightening. Who can go around living like that with that kind of attachment?
You're going to break your heart. It's like if somebody took your heart, say, oh, you decided to love. Well, excuse me, let me cut you open. I'm going to take your heart, and we're going to put it on the outside of your chest now. And also, going to put your genitals on the outside of your pants.
Heart it, my grandmother is here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know. I'm just trying to make a point that it makes you very vulnerable. But if we both accept it, and if we both come together with our love, oh, then we know how powerful it is and how transforming it is. And we know what the end game of cruelty is, don't we?
This is all well and good, but I don't know what you're getting at. I don't know if love is a pill.
Well, really? I'm just trying to, give a message here.
Rather than trying to give a message, why don't it sounds like you got more questions than answers, frankly.
Yeah, hey, you're no preacher.
No, I know.
So why don't you just ask questions? Why don't you just plead? Why don't you just pour your heart out to the universe or God or something?
Really?
Yeah, that's what prayer is.
Well, who do I call out to?
Well, some people call out to God or the universe.
Or Shemp.
Shemp. From the Three Stooges.
Yeah, Shemp.
I don't think Shemp is the ruler of the universe.
You don't know.
Well, I don't know for sure.
Can it hurt?
Well, no.
Well, then call out to Shemp. Pour your heart out to Shemp.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. Oh, Shemp.
Good start.
Oh, Shemp. Man. I got so many fears and everything. I'm supposed to be a grown-up, but I feel like a little kid inside. You know what? I do. I wish that the world was the size of my house when I was growing up. I could hide when things got scary. If my grandparents had over guests and they were kind of scary or something, I'd just go find a little closet to hide in. I could even spy on them and listen. Or I could go in my room, or I could get under my bed and be perfectly safe like that. And then I grew up. I don't know what happened. I was perfectly content as a child, and everybody treated me just the way I thought was appropriate, because I don't know anything. I'm confused. I don't know how the world works. I need help. Sometimes I'm sad and hungry and get hurt, and I need to be taken care of. So it came as quite a shock when I was sent out into the world as an adult. I looked in the mirror. Apparently I had transformed, and now people saw something different, and they weren't as compassionate for me because I didn't have gigantic eyes. You see, that has a lot to do. Did you know that? Did you know that's why we like babies, because of big old eyes? And then as their eyes get smaller, we go, I don't like the old beady-eyed adult. And we turn off that natural kind of compassion that we have for. So I went out into the world.
Shemp.
As an adult, feeling like a child. You know what I felt like when the little rascals go out and they, one of them puts on a mustache and then they get on the other one's shoulders and put on an overcoat. That's the way I feel. I feel like I'm Spanky with a mustache drawn on and I'm on Alfalfa's shoulders or something. One of them. Or Chubby Cheney, my favorite ever. So, that's the way I feel. I feel like I want to look down at my overcoat and say, how are we doing, Alfalfa? Just keep going, But apparently I am a grown up, but I don't know all the things that I'm supposed to do, and I still I get hurt. I don't know what I just go along with things a lot. You pretend, you go to church or something, and you go, yeah, me too, and maybe you don't feel it deep in your heart, but you can't say it because I don't want to be alone. Shemp, I fear being alone. I know how that's why you're in the Three Stooges. Otherwise, it'd just be the Shemp hour, but it's not. It's Mo, Larry, and Shemp. Right? Because you need your brothers with you where you go. You feel better. The three of you equal like half of a real human intelligence. And that's the way I feel. I need people around me. I don't want to be ostracized. But it seems to me that a lot of their love is conditional. And I do want to be loved. And when it's conditional, I feel like, well, maybe I got to lie. Maybe I got to say, yeah, I believe that too. But then, what if they test you and they go, well, if you're really one of us, kill this guy. What am I supposed to do? And then I do, and then I'm transformed. Oh, I'm very confused, Shemp. That's why I'm crying out to you. And you know what? I can't control my love. It's like X-Man laser beam eyes. I feel like if I take off my sunglasses, I'm going to fall in love. And I don't mean romantic love. I mean, I get attached to people. I see something in them. They show me some kindness. And I immediately am drawn to them. Because I think, oh, here's somebody. I think I must be genetic or something. You see somebody, all these creatures somebody cares for. You go, oh, that must be where I belong. They care for me. So you're attracted to that. And so I develop these bonds and love of people. And then the more I have, the more I end up being scared that something's going to happen to them. How can I let them out of my sight? Especially little children. When I love little children, my brain knows, oh, they got to go on their own and everything. We all got to die sometime and everybody's vulnerable. But oh, I feel like I can't take it. I feel like I can't take it. And I see the injustice happening to children when innocents are hurt, you know? I look at all the history books and I think, uh-oh. I thought people, you know, I didn't realize the extent of cruelty that one person could have for the other. I didn't realize that there were people who walked the earth who had no compunction about destroying human life or inflicting great pain on people. So, Shemp, I don't know what to do. What's that all about? Well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to fight back? If I see somebody hurting somebody else, am I supposed to hurt? I don't know what I'm supposed to do, Shemp. All I can say is I'm confused. And when I have dialogue with people, it seems to me the language almost gets in the way. We start arguing about things, and then I don't even know what we're talking about. And then it just becomes, it just starts to be like an odor, like a stink. Like there isn't anything to be exchanged anymore. We're just stinking the place up until it's so foul that we're angry and confused, and we look at the other and we say, that person must be the source of my pain. I got to destroy them. Oh, and we don't know what's in other people's heart. I always think, oh, you should be able to absorb more pain there. And then you feel, well, maybe that person's right. Maybe I'm weak. Maybe I'm not smart enough or good enough or strong enough. And then everybody else is. And I'm some kind of outcast. And maybe they want me dead because I'm ruining their party. You know, we had a nice party here and we all agreed to wear white and you walked in wearing a black sweatshirt. And so we're now going to have to put you to death because it's not as important as our aesthetic here. I'm sorry, you're right. I'll go jump off a cliff. It's hard to know what to do. Or do I get mad at all of them? Shemp, I don't know what to do with my emotions. I'm like you. If I could just, Mo gets angry and he pokes you in the eye. It's that easy. But I got to ask you something. How do you get over that? When he pokes you in the eye, or he takes your nose and he puts pliers up into it, those antique kind of pliers, and he pulls your nose and you go, no, 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 no. What? How do you get over that? See, how is it? What's the strength? I've never seen Mo. Mo doesn't release your side though, does he? He sticks with you. He may show you some pain sometimes, but that's just because he's just as stupid and confused as you are, but he never leaves your side, does he? I guess that's different. That's different from coming on the outside. So I can forgive that. I can forgive that. But if you're not a stooge and you step up and you start hurting Larry, then we got a problem. And then I don't know about love, Shemp. I don't know. You know, I feel like maybe I am made like a lot of people because sometimes I feel very angry and violent inside. Oh, my goodness, I don't even want to share with you the thoughts I have. I'm ashamed of them, you know? And I guess they're there for a reason so I can protect myself. Oh, but golly, I don't know if I want them to come out or not. I want to be strong. You know what I want to be? I want to be like one of them professional wrestlers comes out so giant, so big, so powerful, that I needn't ever fight. That's what I'd like. I'd like to step out in that wrestling ring, and I'm 9 feet tall, and I'm 1,000 pounds, so it's pointless for anybody to come wrestle me. So all I have to do is stand out and go, hold that mic, and I go, I'm Harry White! Everybody goes, woo!
I'm 9 feet tall and 1,000 pounds. I can crush any human on this planet. Therefore, I don't have to. Because none of you're gonna step up and hurt me. Therefore, I can be compassionate. Therefore, I can show you mercy. Because nothing but, you know what? Nobody's 9 feet tall. That's the problem. And if you were 9 feet tall, I'd be out there giving my speech and some little creature I didn't even notice, like maybe a brown recluse, would come up and bite my foot and kill me. And I didn't even see it coming. A little tiny thing. Or a microbe or a virus gets me. I can't even get them back. Oh, y'all vulnerable. Oh, so vulnerable. I realized that walking into a like a baby. What's a baby? Not a baby store. They don't sell babies. Like at the hospital. Like the, not the, natal, not neonatal. That's for preemies. But just the baby ward.
You mean the baby ward?
Yeah. I think they have a name for it.
Nursery?
Maybe. I don't know. What's it talking about?
Babies.
Yeah, babies. Anyway, you see, a baby is so vulnerable, right? That's every one of us. Now, how could it be that something like that vulnerable made it to adulthood? Something must have loved it. It's very difficult for those little babies to make it without something caring or loving for them. I'll try, you take a little baby, take one out, try this experiment. Take a newborn baby out of the bassinet, put it on the floor. And it won't last long. Don't do that. In fact, don't do that. That's your thought experiment. I'm telling you, that won't last long. Now, when do we stop being vulnerable? When we can kill? When do we stop being vulnerable? That's what I want to know. When we can buy a gun? When do we stop being vulnerable? When I was a young child, I was very scared of other people. And I still am. I'm very shy. Going to school was very, very difficult. And I remember the first time I went to a school that I didn't know anybody, I was absolutely terrified. And it took me a very long time to talk to anybody. I don't know why I thought that nobody would like me. But it was very scary. And I just ended up being frightened of just about everybody. And so you sort of put on, you know, you try to find some act. You try to find some character to be. You look at other people that are well-liked and you try to do that. You try to give them something to admire or envy about you so they want to like you and be with you. You know, you try to lure love. We try to lure love
as a question.
You're right. Shimp, is it that we try to lure love, you know, with bait and just not with ourselves? That we try to be something we aren't, and that's how we get love. You see, when people go out on dates and everything, say, oh, I'm gonna be on my best behavior. I'm going to do this, that, and I'm going to put on a sweater vest and a tie. Don't do that, by the way. I'm going to put on a turtleneck. Again, don't do that. But just put on something nice, and then I'm going to go, and I'm going to be very charming, and I'm going to use all my stories. Yes, that reminds me of the time I'm smoking my pipe. I don't think that's going to impress anybody nowadays. Especially with a sweater vest. I'm not sure how that would look. Sweater vest and a pipe. Okay, are you the new Doctor Who or something? No, Doctor Who doesn't have a pipe. What are you talking about? But, so we try to be somebody we're not to gain love. Now, how can you sustain that? You end up having to be phony your entire life. And it gets exhausting. And then you might say at one point, I'm tired of being phony. I'm just going to be myself. And then you go looking for yourself, and it's gone. It's gone. It left. Why would it stick around? You replaced it with a cartoon character. You replaced it with somebody else's personality. And you weren't honest about who you really were. And I can see the fear, because when I see people being honest about themselves and their fears and their loves and their insecurities, I see they're at the very least, sometimes they are the recipients of ridicule. And they're told that their feelings aren't valid or they're overreacting or they're weak. You're weak. You need to toughen up. And they call you names and say, you need to toughen up, you little flower.
like that. Like a flower is the ultimate symbol of something that is fragile and has no power. And I think, who wants to see the world that way? That the least things, like snowflakes and flowers, are to be trod on, are something that is fleeting, is somehow worthless. And then what you want to be is more like a mountain or a rock. But a rock cannot feel, and a mountain's got cold tips. Like that. I said, that might be Paul Simon saying that. Oh, got a lot of wisdom from songwriters and stuff. Art can help us do that. So you say people feel comfortable doing that, expressing themselves that way. And I don't blame them. Who wants to be? I don't want to be my own art. You look at me and you say, gosh, Hardy White, look what he's expressing. Fear, you know, he's always scared a lot. Sadness, I've seen him cry. I've seen him cry in public. Beginning to get sad, he starts thinking about loss. What's that all about? I thought he was supposed to be funny, you know? I've seen him be stupid. I've seen him mispronounce words. I've seen him get concepts wrong and everything. Oh, my gosh, what a fool. To be thought a fool by everybody, to be rejected like that, oh, would be awful. But I tell you, Shemp, here's been my experience. I have tried relentlessly to be myself, as difficult as that is, you know, and scary. Ugh. But as I'm getting older, I see people die, I just don't care about my fear anymore. I've made peace with it. It's still here, and I dance with it, and I laugh with it, and I get in its face, and it's just some ugly old nasty dog I live with, but I'm never going to give it up. I'm never going to give up my fear. I'm just going to understand it better. And it's never going to hold me back the way it did. I used to not want to leave the house because of that ugly dog pulling at me. And I said, ugly dog, you stay here. I'll feed you when you come back, when I come back. But right now, I'm headed out. And I head out into the world, and I just be myself. I say, how can that be? Let's say there is a God. How could he have made me wrong? I've never understood that. How could he have made me wrong? And how do you know he did? Did he tell you? Yeah. See, that's a problem. See, I say, oh, I've been speaking to Shemp. Does he speak back? No. Well, he speaks back to me, and he says he hates you. What? Yeah. That can't be. Yeah, if you loved Shemp more, he'd speak to you, and he'd speak back, and he'd say what you're supposed to do. But I'm opening up my heart to him, and so you're saying that you know him and that he talks to you. Yep, I know what Shemp wants. See, I don't. That makes me even more confused. Now, I don't know. Who am I supposed to talk to? Not Mo. Yeah, don't cry out to Mo ever. I know. He doesn't always understand. I love him, and you know he's loyal. But I don't think he always gets how painful things can be, you know? And he's got that awful temper. It's just a shield. Just a wall. Mo's putting up a wall. He is putting up a wall. I understand.
What about Larry?
I don't know. I don't know spiritually who Larry represents. I would tell you this, though. In real life, what a sweet man. What a kind, sweet man Larry was. Oh, yes, he liked to gamble. And yes, he lived in a hotel with his family because he got reckless with money and all. But I've never heard any bad stories about Larry Fine. Just that he was a kind, nice man and a clown. That's all they did is wanted to bring laughter to people and get enough money to go play the horses. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Oh, Shemp. What am I supposed to do about injustice? Oh, Shemp. What if there are hungry people in the world? What if I want to help hungry people in the world and somebody's telling me no, there are no hungry? And I go, well, I'm seeing them. Nope. It's just propaganda. Nobody out there. With all this fiction, what do I use as a compass to get through the world when people are hurling lies at me, when people are hurling conflicting information? Where do I put my faith? In what can I count on? No, not on. On what can I count?
On.
No, it's okay. We don't want to dangle a preposition. But what can I count on?
Me?
Me?
Me, occasionally.
I know, my friends. Yeah. I know you'll never abandon me. And, I need you more and more now. So this is what I'm going to do. When I get confused, I'm going to just temporarily shrink my world. I'm going to shrink my world to y'all at this table. The people that mean the most to me and the people that are in my life and who are present every day. My stooges. My Mo and my Larry. My left and my right. Those are the people I'm going to concentrate on them. You know? And then when I feel that I can take care of them, I'm going to expand out and I'm going to take care of a few more people and I'm going to get in their lives. And then I'm going to expand that out more and I'm going to get in those people's lives as I get stronger. And always at the core, my stooges, always at the core, holding me up, occasionally poking me in the eye, letting me know what pain feels like so I don't forget. If I inure myself, I might forget that you're feeling it too. And that's what compassion's all about. I got some lessons very young and I can't get them out of my head. I can't. They stuck with me. And they were Sunday school lessons. And I thought, man, you're right. That is not right. If an innocent person is hurt, it is not right to bully somebody. If you're strong, to use your strength to destroy somebody else, it just doesn't seem right. Now, I cannot tell you logically why I feel that way. All I knew is that it is accompanied by very powerful emotions. So I don't know if I'm right or good or bad. I just know what camp I'm in based on who I am inside, and I won't deny that. So, who I am inside is, I get angry when I see powerful people taking advantage of weak people. I feel angry, sad, shaky, because it has violated something at my very core. It has affected me because I think that that's wrong. And I will never be convinced it's right. And maybe that makes me an idiot. I don't know. But I can't do it. And I realize that I could be destroyed because of this feeling. But I will never, ever give that up. I'm so sorry. So it's very clear that if you don't believe that or you think that's wrong, that there is no way you could possibly ever love me, and I must accept that. Because I'm never going to give that up. I can't ever stand there while somebody powerful hurts somebody weak. I can't do it. And I can't intellectually escape the idea of consequences. I believe when you do something, that something else happens. I believe when you say something to somebody, it goes into their brain, and they go off, and they take that, and something is going to happen. That's a consequence. Some consequences are good, some are neutral, some can be bad. But everything has consequences. So when we're talking, and we're discussing something, and maybe you disagree, and you say to me, you're an idiot, or you're not really human, or I don't think you're a good neighbor, or something like that. Now, you might think, oh, I'm expressing myself. That person should be able to take it. I have a right to say this. And you are absolutely right. That's absolutely right. You can say anything you want. But if you know humans, like I do, we have feelings and emotions. And I don't know why we do, but we do. Some people don't, I guess. But they do. And what happens is when you trigger those things, behavior accompanies them. Now, you could say, oh, you need to shut off your emotions and everything. Well, I think that's very dangerous. I think that can be dangerous because when you shut them off and when you inure yourself, you're capable of very bad things, in my belief. Now, you may not share that. Again, I have to accept that. I have to accept that at some point you might want me dead for some reason. Now I got to figure out what I do. Because if I stab back, if I shoot back, I'm not sure that that's me, that I can be me anymore.
But if I don't, then I'm destroyed and my worldview is destroyed along with it. Shemp, what am I supposed to do?
Shemp doesn't know.
I know he doesn't. I don't know either. And that's why I yell out to the universe.
Man, you should have some of this. First of all, you need to have some of these mashed potatoes. Can you just take a break for a minute?
I'm not going to take a break for a minute because I feel as if people need me. I'm going to stand here and talk to you and tell you why I think that I love you without knowing you. Isn't that interesting? How could that be? Oh, I'm giving it out. I got a love to give. I don't mind giving it out. I'm giving it out right now. It's absolutely free. And why can I love you without you, without knowing you or anything? And that's very easy. It's my pill analogy. Because if you don't accept it, that's fine. Then I have no connection with you. If you accept my love, then we will be connected. And I have nothing to lose. All I'm going to gain is another stooge. And I don't mean like that you're a fool. I mean like my three stooges. Like my family. And suddenly, we're going to be a million stooges. The million stooges. Then we're going to be the 3 million stooges. And then the 10 million stooges. And then the 60 million stooges. And then every single one of us all over the world will be brothers and sisters, and we will be poking each other in the eye 1 minute, and the next minute, we're going to be sharing some cheese. Unless you don't want cheese. Do you eat cheese, Butchie? Not so much. All right.
I do. I love it.
I know. I know you do, Lou. So, I know it's Thanksgiving, and so I want to give... I want to say thank you to some people. I want to say thank you to everybody at this dinner table. I want to say thank you for overlooking my faults. Thank you for overlooking my mistakes. Thank you for treating me as if I was your family. Thank you for always being there. What is it? What are we at?
I don't think he's crying.
Are you crying? No, I'm not. I tell you, sometimes my voice catches. Anyway... I'm thankful because I know that I don't always deserve your love, and it's there anyway. And I don't always deserve your respect, and I've got it anyway. And that's amazing. I love how invested we are in each other. The more you know who you are, the more you realize how you're not very special, and the more you want to yell out for mercy. Oh, mercy. Oh, Shemp, I thought I was special. Shemp, I thought because of the manner of my birth, I thought because who I was born, the family I was born into, or the country I was born into, or the religion I was born into, I truly thought I was better than everybody else. I truly thought other people were somehow inferior. But now life is starting to beat me down. What's going on? Don't you love me anymore, Shemp? Or is that it? Am I not special? Or is just I got the idea wrong about what special is? And maybe just simply being alive is miraculous and special. Maybe that's the gift. And I think the gift is a little something more because I don't know how to use the gift I've been given. Now, a friend of mine received a tea cozy from his grandmother for one Christmas, and he believed it was a hat. And he said, oh, my grandmother's given me this hat, and she knitted it, and I feel so bad, and it doesn't fit. And I looked at it, and I said, what is this, a nose hole? He goes, I don't know. I go, dude, this is for your teapot. And he said, what? I said, it isn't a hat. It's a tea cozy. Keep your teapot warm. He's like, oh, I got this gift. I didn't know what it was for, so I thought the gift was lacking. Your gift of life is your gift. You know, that other stuff, the gold and the jewels and all that. That ain't it. That ain't it. You got the gift wrong. You're using it wrong. And maybe you feel lacking because you're not doing what you're supposed to do, which is hook up with these other people who have the same gift. And then the things that you can achieve together are amazing. All the things. Now, this world is not perfect. It's got earthquakes, and it has volcanoes. You understand? And it's got some alligators that bite. It's got some bugs that sting.
you know? But a lot of the misery in life is made by other people. And that could stop tomorrow. If I could get in every single human's head, I could literally stop all that evil tomorrow. But I can't. I can't. I can barely get in one. So, that's a problem. We have a lot of people that had gifts that they don't know how to use. And so they've stuck them away, and they're looking for something else. And that's why you have these humans out here that are wandering the earth with the most precious gift they can imagine. And they spend that gift looking for something that they already have. So that leads to the confusion. And now we're just all confused.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do about it? I don't know. All the only thing I can think to do about it is two things. One is to be relentlessly myself. Now, by relentlessly myself, I just mean to, you know, whatever I do, I was meant to do it. I guess I was meant to do that. I was supposed to do it. That seems strange. Strange way to live your life. Kind of crazy and chaotic. But I got to accept that my mind and everything about it is crazy and chaotic. I don't understand. I feel like I'm living in a funhouse, right? So you know what? That's how I'm going to communicate. I'm going to look at this world, realize how crazy it is, realize how nothing fits into a straight narrative or story, that stories are confining, that it's weirder and bigger and messier and lovelier than that. Oh, this is insane and great. That's why I'm crazy. That's why I throw all these things out there. That's why I talk in circles, because there's nowhere to go with it. It's just a beautiful thing to experience. Love it. Live it the best you can. With what you can. You know? You say, well, my body is not doing everything I... Oh, bless you, I know. I know we're limited by this. There's things you can do with a healthy body you can't do with a sick body. I know that. I'm just asking you to live what you can, you know? When Kazuo Ono, the Butoh dancer, when he's over 100, he would still dance with one hand. With one hand, still moving. Rest of them couldn't move, but he danced with that hand, with what he had. He was himself. And people look at that form of expression and they go, what is that nutty? That's coming from a human being. That's fully human. Don't you recognize it? Have you become so blind to the experience that you can't see that anymore, the expression of confusion or suffering, the crying out? You can't hear it. When you go out in public and you look at people's faces, you can't see the fear. You can't see the confusion. You really? You can't see how lost people are. Now, some people throw you because they know they're convinced they know exactly what's going on, that everything they think is right, and that they got a perfect handle on it. And they're easy to spot. And yes, maybe they are deceiving themselves. But if you look really closely, nobody loses the baby within. The baby within.
The baby within.
And it's there. And you can teach your mind to see it. So I shrink you all down, little children. And then I see your vulnerabilities and everything, and it's easier for me to love you. Then I can control my own anger. I can control this other thing that pops up. Now, I may need to literally fight you sometimes. I realize that. I've had been taking care of children. Now, if somebody came up and they tried to do something violent or take the child, I'm not going to fold my hands together in prayer and go, oh, I love you, peace on you. No, this is when I'm going to utilize a little something called Kung Fu. Now, I'm not good at it, but I will tell you that I will use all of my body to stop you from hurting another person. And they'll say, well, then you'll hurt me. Man, you know what? You should have thought of that. There's restaurants that say, if you come in with a tie, I'm going to cut off your damn tie. There's places that say, if you sit in the front Shamu row, you're going to get wet.
There's places to say, if you sit in the front row of to see Gallagher, you get everything you deserve. And there is no plastic tarp that's really going to protect you from Gallagher. You know? So if you do that, you understand that I'm stopping you. I understand you're a human being. I know where you're coming from. Bless your heart. But whoopsie. So I don't feel like that my love leaves me completely vulnerable. I know that the smallest, frailest human can still be very, very intimidating. You know? And all it takes is a little bit, a little shriveled up lady with a little 22. Could conceivably kill the Rock. Right? So, oh, here comes Goldberg. Well, here comes some granny. She can take out Goldberg. That's no problem. See? It doesn't mean, the least of us can also be destructive. So you got to look around and you understand that all human beings have power, the power to destroy, and all human beings have the power to love and create. And that's very frustrating, and I wish it was just the one, but it's both things, and they do both of them, and sometimes they do both of them simultaneously. And I've gone on now, and I see people arguing online. And one minute they love each other, and then they're calling each other's names, and they love each other, then they call each other's names, and then they're not friends anymore, and all this stuff, and they go back and forth. Because that is the conflict that is in all human beings, were those two things.
Oh, very good. Let's dig in.
Well, I'm not really finished yet.
Look, I love to hear you talk, but honestly, I can't follow it half the time.
Yeah, maybe you spend too much time saying what you believe and not showing what you believe. For instance, prove your love by passing the gravy.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Ammunition?
That's what I call peas, because I'm an amateur pea shooter. Ever go pea shooting? I gotta take you sometime.
Here's the gravy. I thought you were a vegetarian, Butchie.
Oh, this isn't meat gravy. It's made from water, kosher marshmallows, and chicory.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Lou made it for me. It takes 17 hours to make.
Oh, that's very thoughtful, Lou.
Yeah, well, he'd do it for me.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
But I'd do something else for you. Like, tell you you have a green bean in your eyebrow.
I know you would.
No, I'm telling you now. You have a green bean stuck in your eyebrow.
That's crazy, man. I thought they were called string beans.
Why aren't we having turkey? Well, some of us are non-meat eaters, and I figured making a small concession for people I love is really no sacrifice at all. There's no earthly pleasure, especially eating a type of food that means more to me than Butchie and Stinky and the other vegetarians.
Well, I want to thank Lou for having us all over and cooking.
You are all welcome here anytime. My home is open to anybody who needs a place to come. For a bit. You can't stay the night. I give what I can.
Thanks, friend.
Question. There seems to be no mention of the historic origin of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, we don't repeat other people's myths in this house.
Yeah, we're into making up our own. Right, Hardy?
Right. We are.
So, why don't you make up a Thanksgiving origin story?
All right. Once there was a family called the Swiss Family Gutzweiler.
Is that a Swiss name?
I think it is. Anyway, so the Gutzweiler family had to leave their home in Switzerland for some reason. So they got on a boat and they took everything they could, chocolate, watches, whatever, and they got on the boat and they sailed and they ended up, they ran out of gas and they hit an island. And they got to this island and they lived there for a while. They built some grass huts. They built them out of grass, which is not very good building material. And so eventually they just sat on the beach. And after a few weeks, though, they had eaten all their watches and chocolate, and they had no food. Oh, and things were starting to get scary. And then they discovered that there were other people living there. They found some other grass huts. And believe it or not, it was the Swiss Family Gutzweiler, but it was a different version of them, a version from the future. Yes, something had happened. There'd been a rift in time, and their future selves were there, too. So the future self said to the past family, "You know, we know what you've been going through because we went through it, and we'd like to help you by sharing our meal with you." Oh, so they reached across time to the other Swiss family, and they all hugged, and then because of the time paradox, they exploded. When they exploded, the entire universe shattered. And as it shattered, there was a tension buildup, and it slammed back in place. And when it slammed back in place, it became a singularity that was actually one of those Hallmark stores, you know, with the cards and everything, little figurines. But they're not made out of porcelain. They're just made out of glass or something. But they're cute little children fishing and everything. They're just like Hummels, but they're not as expensive. Do you know what I'm saying? And they had those pen sets. I don't know. When I have I can't think of a gift idea or something. I say, well, I don't know what to get this bar mitzvah. I think he'd like a Hummel. A lot of young boys would say, I collect figurines and all. Could you get me something like that? Or a pen. Because there's that joke at bar mitzvah. The boy says, today I am a Hummel figurine. Because he gets so many of them. Do you understand? So he's like, oh, I've turned into one. So this happened. Now the universe was just this card shop. But something was very unusual about it. There was nobody working there, and there were no customers. It was just a place of greetings. It was a place to send gifts. And yet there was no one to send gifts to, and no one to receive them. So the creator of the universe, Shemp, looked down upon this, and he went, beep, 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 beep. And with that, with every beep, 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 dropped from his mouth a being. And these beings started to inhabit this card shop. And they started to fight. And Shemp looked down and said, you can't fight. If you fight, there's not going to be any of you. So he put something in their hearts that made them only fight half the time. And the other time, they cooperated. And when they cooperated, in this time, they would share a meal. The little people would go all over the card shop, and they would get up and they say, look, here's a mint, some kind of chocolate mint in a wrapping. You know, they have those things in the card shops. Little, I don't know what it is, toffee. Or something, but everything that they found, everything edible in that store, and they made a feast. They took some of those little cardboard decorations that you have for birthday parties, and they made a big table, and they all sat around it. And they ate the little thin mints, and they ate the little, I don't know what kind of, just little candies. What do you call them? Pastels? Or pastilles? Or papillons? This is the little candies, hard candies and everything. But to them, they were tiny. So those candies looked gigantic. And one of them said, and this is what stuck, one of them said, that looks like a dead turkey. And they went, that gives us an idea. And they went out and they killed an eagle because they got confused about, they didn't know what a turkey was. And the eagle died. And the eagle's family looked down upon it and said, you know, how can you do this to us? Why does your joy require the sacrifice of my family? Can't I also live? Why must I die that you must enjoy yourself? Because this isn't about just living. It's about pleasure. Why must I die for your pleasure? You can live without destroying me. So why don't you? It must be something else. What am I threatening you with? said the eagle, the surviving eagle. And the little people, little BB people that had dropped from Shemp's mouth said, well, we fear you. We are small and you are large. And so we wanted to kill you and eat you as a way of ingesting your power and sort of energizing ourselves so that we can become like eagles. And the eagle said, it doesn't work that way. If it worked that way, every time you ate it in Lifesaver, you'd turn into it. Lifesaver. It doesn't work that way. Ancient people thought that I will eat a cow and become strong as a cow. They're not super strong, but it doesn't work that way. It's the protein. So I'm sorry. And you can get your protein somewhere else. And so the little people invited the eagle to their feast. And when they got back, the other little people had invited a lot of other mythical creatures. To that there was a clear kangaroo. He wasn't invisible. He's just clear. You could see him. It was just, oh, you could see everything inside and everything too. So the pouch, you know, not just the pouch. I mean, all the guts and everything. But what a wonderful creature. Sweet. Sometimes you have to, you'd be disgusted or something, be unfamiliar, have no reference point.
and so it'll seem strange to you and you won't be able to connect with it. You know, I think that's the beauty of fiction and the beauty of cartoons and the beauty of... When I was a child, I saw that, you know, I could see the life, I could see the worth in all sorts of things that weren't human, you know? You see, say, oh, little Who's down in Whoville, for instance, right? Or little creatures, you know, all they had to do, oh, they're smiling and talking. Do real creatures do that? Yes, you can't understand it. It's been translated into English. But see, now do you feel a little better? Now that you have a personal relationship with Wally Gator, it's a little hard to kill him. Now that you have a personal relationship with Magilla Gorilla, do you really want to chop off his feet for umbrella stands? You see? Now, once I have fallen in love, and once a love connection is there for me, it is not easily dissolved. All right? Even if you turn on me, I still have a little bit left. All right? So I'm saying this. If love has ever been given to you, by a parent, by anybody, if you've ever been taken care of, just stop for 1 minute and think about that. Now, I don't know if you're religious or what, but, you know, and maybe you can thank your mother, or maybe your mother's dead, or maybe she wasn't even a good mother. Maybe somebody else showed you love, and maybe you can thank them, or maybe they're gone. But if you can't thank them, then you got some thanks due. You better thank somebody. And the best way to thank is by emulating them. If somebody has done something terrific for you, you be like that. You honor them. Have some honor. That's all I'm asking. Have some honor and remember. Remember what was done to you to make you feel good, to take care of you. Remember that. It's in you. I want you to be haunted by it. All right? Haunted by the guilt that you need to thank and that you need to love. And if you don't, there's going to be a conflict in you, a war, all right, between all those little bibibi shemp people and eagles and clear kangaroos. And you want them all to come together, I guarantee. I guarantee that y'all want to be sitting at the same table together. And we are here on the radio. We're having Thanksgiving together. And it's not just the people sitting at my table. It's you out there, too. And I'm thankful for you, human being. I realize how difficult it is to come into this world and how difficult it is to leave. I realize that I've lost friends this year and my heart aches and it breaks and it feels like it will never heal. But you heal it. Oh, you reach out and you're still alive and I'm still alive. And while we're here, let's not mess this up. I don't know what you believe in, but I would say honor anyway. Reach up to the sky and say, I don't know how this came to be. I don't know why I've been shown mercy, but I realize that if I want to be continued to show mercy, I must show mercy. There is no way to do it and get it without that. I must open up my heart and my eyes. I have an obligation that I have to show love and mercy to receive it. And then I will. Oh, friends. You notice how I didn't say do this or be like me? Be like yourself. Whatever tradition, don't get rid of your religion if you have one. And don't get one if you don't have one. You don't have to just, to give thanks. Give it any way you can. Be good within the framework you've been given. Don't have to put on a different costume or cartoon face. Be you. Do it with what you have. But stand up for what's in your heart. It's worth it. It's worth it. Confess it to the universe, if no one else. Tonight, as you go to sleep, silently say, I'm frightened. Or I have fear. Or I wish I was loved. But say it out loud. Stop trying to be tough. I know you're not. I know you're not. But I know your fate. And I'm here. If you have a change of heart and you start being more committed to love and mercy, I'll be here for you, friend, always to share a meal or to share anything I have. Because we're in this together and we're at the same table. And you are at the Miracle Nutrition Table. You can tell because it's got a little card in the middle that says that. On WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, or online at WFMU.org. Oh, thank you for joining me, friends. And I'll see you again next week. Happy Thanksgiving from everybody here at Miracle Nutrition.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.